This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
Here we go. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave real early.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for a smooth and refreshing cocktail, highly recommend Denver Distillery. This is an up-and-coming distillery. You can find them off of Broadway in Denver. And they are putting out some award-winning stuff, and they are getting recognized all over the country for the work that they are doing. They were just recognized as a top five whiskey in the country. A top five whiskey in the country. They have also been recognized for numerous awards. And remember something, they haven't been around that long, less than 4 years. Think about what they're going to be able to do moving forward. Let's talk about some of these award-winning spirits. Sweet potato vodka. I've had it. It's fantastic. Fantastic. I like my vodka with a little bit of tonic, but I like to just sip this because I like that sweet potato flavor on my lips. Colorado gin's really good. Straight four-grain bourbon is excellent. Apple pine moonshine, I still need to try that. And their bourbon barrel aged spice rum, I've had that with the Diet Coke. Just fantastic. Denver Distillery, award-winning, recognized nationally. Go get some at your local liquor store. If they don't have it, demand it. You know what else? Now local restaurants are putting Denver Distillery liquors behind their bar. They are getting big. Jump on the train right now. I've been on that train for a while. You're going to love Denver Distillery. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, so I was talking to my friend Chris Dempsey, who works for Altitude Sports and Entertainment. He used to be a newspaper guy, but he's just so stunningly good-looking and in good shape. They said, we got to put this guy on television. So he is on television. So we're talking on the phone earlier today and with the news with Chris Paul, where he has tested positive for COVID, according to a Phoenix radio station, although he did get, according to that same report, the vaccine. And I said to him, how well do you think the Nuggets would have done without Chris Paul? Then we started talking about all of the injuries to Jamal Murray, and now Kawhi Leonard, and James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis. And Demps was fired up. And I said, Demps, you got to come on the show today. You got to let it out, man. You got to let it out. Chris, how are you?
I'm looking forward to this very therapeutic session that we're about to have.
As a therapist would say, feel free to start spilling on why you think so many players, specifically star players, have been injured this year.
Well, I think it's the density of the schedule. And I'll just start with my reaction to all these injuries. I think it's a travesty. I think that the NBA product, in particular the playoffs, is being damaged this season because all of these players are, and so many star players in this among these group. I mean, it's hurting the ability for teams to be at their best. It's hurting the ability for some of these series to really be compelling. I draw the line all the way back to the regular season. A regular season in which the league wanted to jam in as quickly as possible and avoid playing against the Olympics, which they did do. They avoided the finals will be over maybe just a couple of days before the Olympics start. But in doing so, what you've had is a situation where the players, these games had come so fast and furious. The Nuggets for the second half of the season went through like a 2-month stretch where they played every other day, every time for 60 straight days. The Memphis Grizzlies had 40 games in 60 days after the break. It is no wonder that these players are getting hurt at the rate that they're getting hurt. And it's too bad because I think it was avoidable. I think it was avoidable, and there were other things that took priority, and now we're starting to see just exactly what the toll is taking on these players' bodies as they kind of drop like flies here in the playoffs.
Do you think that the NBA would have been wiser to kind of do what the NHL did and have a shorter season? They went with 56 games, and to limit travel, they went with four kind of strictly geographically placed divisions and only had teams play within those divisions.
Yeah, I think that would have been a much better solution just in terms of, you know, player safety. Every time you want to hear them say player safety, well, then these are the times that you could show something like that. Now, the only issue with going to what the NHL did was that now that I work for an RSN, there are a certain number of games that the RSNs have to have in order to kind of fulfill that contract with the NBA. And so that's exactly why the bubble happened last year, because they had to get so many of them up to 72 games. And so that's the reason why they got to this number. But what you could have done, Andrew, is spaced it out more and just said, okay, well, we're going to shorten it to 72. But we're not going to worry about the 2 week window, the 2 week Olympic window. Mm-hmm. We'll play conference finals against them. And you know what? We'll catch basketball fans anyway. But when you want to put all the games together, you want to do it in a specific time, and what it results in is this jam-packed schedule. Now you're just putting things at risk. There was an article, I believe, on ESPN.com midway during the season, which I think is anonymously sourced training staffs across the league as being very concerned with the amount of games being played as quickly as they were being played and the toll it was taking on their players. And I think they were right to be obviously concerned when you start to see injuries not only to our Jamal Murray here, but to players around the league, and you know, the latest of which being and maybe most damaging here for the LA Clippers, the knee injury here to Kawhi Leonard.
We're talking with Chris Dempsey. You can catch him on Altitude Sports and Entertainment. I'm going to throw a complete hypothetical at you, piggybacking off of all of these injuries. And it's a hypothetical, I know. And we're going to have a bunch of new teams playing for the NBA title and a bunch of new teams who are going to be in the Western Conference Finals. Let's say, for the sake of argument, Jamal Murray was healthy. Will Barton was healthy. And Dozier was healthy. In the first round, they get the Lakers. No Anthony Davis. Second round, they get the Clippers minus Kawhi Leonard. And then in the NBA Finals, or not the NBA Finals, the Western Conference Finals, let's say Devin Booker had an injury and Chris Paul tested positive for COVID, which he has, and he can't play. Then they get to the NBA Finals and Kyrie and Harden can't play. And the Nuggets win a championship. You don't want to take away anything from a champion, and you are Nuggets through and through, and you're going to gladly hoist that trophy, and you want your ring. But honestly, Demps, how good are you feeling about that title?
Well, you know what? You feel good about the title, but you know it went. You know how it went down, and Phoenix is living that situation right now, right? So Phoenix, and you, again, Phoenix is a really, really good basketball team. I just need to say that right off the top. And
but
they played the Lakers. They played the Lakers largely without Anthony Davis.
Yep.
And they play the Nuggets, and the Nuggets without Jamal Murray and whatever other players were gone.
Who killed him, by the way, in the regular season? Who killed him in the regular season?
Yes, Jamal Murray. When I went back and did the film study of the games, not just between the Nuggets and the Suns. I mean, it was shocking how they could not guard Jamal Murray at all. And I had forgotten exactly how dominant he was in those games. But it was, I mean, if he's on the court here for this series, obviously it wouldn't be a sweep. I'm not going to say beyond a shadow of a doubt the Nuggets win. The Phoenix Suns are playing great basketball. But it doggone sure would have been at least a seven-game series between those two teams going back and forth with those players on the court, because Jamal Murray could not be stopped. And if Chris Paul was going to continue to not be stopped by the Nuggets, then maybe what we would have had was just a bunch of games that were just shootouts in very high scores, rather than Nuggets struggling to get to their point totals that they had averaged all season long in all of these games. So, I mean, things are different, but, you know, Phoenix is living that out right now. And if they advance, what are the Clippers' chances now of beating the Utah Jazz without Kawhi Leonard? They're greatly diminished. But the Utah Jazz also playing games without Mike Conley. And if Mike Conley, I think he's expected back, but if he comes back and it's like James Harden, it's a hamstring, and he just can't quite get it together, has to miss more games, and maybe some of those games are against the Phoenix Suns, then they're going to benefit from that as well. And so, you know, you still have to win the games to win the title, and that you should always take solace in and be very proud of. You did that. And nobody can take it away. And years later, they're not going to go back and go, hey, look, remember all those teams? Most people won't. They'll just see that you won a title. I think we all know what we're seeing here. And for the NBA, and so for some of these teams, they're just not able to put their best foot forward. And these playoffs could look drastically different if they were able to.
You mentioned Jamal Murray in that. And, of course, the nature of ACL rehab means that he's going to miss some time in the 2021-2022 season. What did the Nuggets learn in the regular season, then in those two series against Portland and Phoenix, about trying to cope without Jamal Murray that can help them get by for as long as possible until he is all the way back next year?
Yeah, it's a central question for next season, because he's probably going to miss the majority of next season too. And I think that answer, Andrew, is shooting. I mean, they just could not score against Phoenix. Phoenix basically, it got to the point where they defensively were just packing the lane. They take away cutters, they take away driving lanes, they took away all that stuff, and then they rotated out, to the 3-point line to contest shots at the 3-point line. They weren't exactly terrified with, what the Nuggets were going to be able to or not be able to do at the 3-point line, and in fact, the defense that Phoenix played really played a hand in the Nuggets, taking over 40 three-pointers almost in every game in that series, not shooting a good percentage from the three-point line. And so now you're out of your regular offense, and now you're doing something different. You're not making those shots. And so I don't see why teams wouldn't guard them the same way next season. So if you know that, then what you're doing in offseason is you're making sure that you're standing guys around Joker that are – going to keep defenses honest. Now, if you want to double team Nikola Jokic on the block, then you're going to pay for it with a 3-point shot made somewhere on the court, and in a way that just didn't happen anymore against the Phoenix Suns. So I would think that if you without compromising the relative hierarchy on the team, when Jamal Murray comes back, obviously he's going to slide right back into a starring role. I think what you do need to have are just knockdown shooters everywhere. Maybe that's just adding a couple of guys to the equation and saying, okay, all right, I dare you to double team this guy, one of the best passing players, period, in the NBA, because he's going to pick you apart with the pass. And then when you actually have to hug up to the shooters, now he's going to work one-on-one with your big, and there's very few people that can merely slow him down, much less stop him.
One quick thing before we cut you loose, only have about 45 seconds left. I'm guessing there are a lot of people in Serbia very upset that Nikola Jokic is not going to try or is not going to play for his home country. But is it fair to say, and I haven't seen anything from Tim Connelly or Josh Kroenke or Mike Malone, they are absolutely thrilled that Jokic is not going to be playing any more basketball until the start of the NBA season?
Yeah, well, I think their official stance on that is that
they support
whatever decision that, yeah, exactly, whatever
but,
decision he's made.
But
the reality of the situation is in the last three seasons, I believe he's played 225 out of 227 games, all 43 playoff games, averaged 34 minutes per game. Doing so this year and playing all 72 games was 30 minutes in the league. I mean, I can't think of, and I said this on Twitter, I can't think of another player that would need the rest more than Nikola Jokic. I mean, just see you later, man. We'll see you in September.
Because
it's been a long haul these last three seasons. And he's not only played all the minutes, but in particular this season, they have been really pressurized heavy minutes as players went down around him, and more responsibility was heaped on his shoulders to keep this team afloat. And so, yeah, I mean, he's earned the right to not play and to get a real rest. I mean, and not only that, you're talking about an off season, which was over like that. He hasn't gotten an All-Star weekend in the last 3 years. And so it just becomes a lot of basketball and a lot of wear and tear on your body. And we just kind of bring us back full circle to our original points here. You can't put that kind of you can't tax your body to that level and not at some point, experience some sort of wear down injuries. And for Nikola Jokic, he's been a total Ironman. So he stayed away from that largely, and the Nuggets want to keep him in that space. To your point, Eric, and to keep him in that space, that's just going to mean that he's not going to have to play, that he should not play in the Olympics here this summer.
Now, like, he's not playing the qualifying tournament. He could still play the Olympics, right? Did I read that correctly? That he's
qualifying. Yeah, because the qualifying, I mean, that would have been the fastest turnaround ever for the qualifying tournament. But he could. I mean, my timeline has a lot of people not very happy with the insinuation that he would not play for his country. And I mean, that's just it goes to show you so much pressure on him to be able to play, to have to play, and to not just play but perform well. And I mean, it's a pressurized situation. But I just think that if people just sit back and look at the load. I mean, do you want how much longer do you want Nikola Jokic around? I mean, there's more tournaments in the future. There's more, world basketball stuff events that he will play in. And so to let him be for one Olympics, I think just my personal opinion is probably in the best interest of everyone, whether you're in America or Serbia.
Demps, I'm glad you got it all out. I hope you feel better, and we can't wait to have you on the show again, my friend.
I feel great. Woosah. Thank you, fellas.
See you, pal. All right, yeah. Coming up after the break, NFL and the Players Union agreed on COVID player protocols, and for those that did not get vaccinated, they are going to be treated like lepers. That's next.
I knew you were going to use that word.